As we heard, Britain is among the nations urging Iran to halt its production of nuclear fuel. Britain's Foreign Secretary David Miliband has issued some pointed warnings to Tehran this week as he tours California's Silicon Valley with Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. Still, Miliband says the UK and its allies haven't exhausted the diplomatic options.
We are 100% focused on the diplomatic track, as are our colleagues. And this is about preventing a nuclear-armed Iran. It's not about disarming a nuclear-armed Iran. And I think it's important that we recognize the implications of this, because there is a non-proliferation treaty. Iran is a signatory to it. And both the UN Security Council and the International Atomic Energy Authority have found Iran to be in breach of undertakings that are very, very important. And that's why I think it's those of us who care about non-proliferation need to ensure that we're vigilant on this issue.
Did you discuss the possibility of some kind of armed intervention if Iran did not comply with these sanctions? Did you discuss with Dr. Rice?
No, we're fully focused on making the diplomatic track work.
Do you believe that every country on Earth has the right to nuclear power?
I certainly believe that Iran has a right to nuclear power if it's willing to exercise its full responsibilities. When you start talking about every country on Earth, I'd want to go into some details about the record of different countries and to make sure that they are fulfilling their responsibilities. But I think that until a country either breaches international negotiations or international agreements or does things which undermine the confidence about the civilian nature of a nuclear program, then it's reasonable for international cooperation to go ahead.
Let's talk about the U.S. relationship with Britain and what that relationship is today. Is it still special?
I think the relationship is a special one, and it's obviously got historical roots, but it's about current and future values and interests. And we are bound together by our history, but I think we're also bound together by a set of shared values, a set of institutions that we believe in together, and also by a set of values that we try to project around the world. And I think that we have a lot to gain from working together. I always say none of the big problems in the world, be they international terrorism or climate change or poverty and inequality, can be solved without the United States. We do need strong American leadership. The experience after the Second World War showed the value of the international order that was led by the United States and other European countries, including the UK. But we now face a changed international context after the end of the Cold War, post 9/11. This is a context that demands the sort of institution building and cooperation across the Atlantic that I think typified the post-Second World War period and remains very, very important.
Well, one place that American leadership has taken the world is Iraq, and the most heavily engaged nation in Iraq after the U.S. is Britain. Looking ahead to the U.S. election, there are pretty stark choices being offered by the two parties. You've got John McCain, who talks of strong continued U.S. role in Iraq, while both Democratic contenders both pledge to head toward the exits as soon as decently possible. How do you, as one of Britain's chief foreign policy architects, perhaps the chief foreign policy architect, set about preparing for that?
Well, obviously, I'm not going to say anything that interferes with the American election process. What I can say is that Iraq needs, first, continued improvement in its security. Secondly, it needs political reconciliation led by Iraqis. And thirdly, it needs economic reconstruction. And Britain has a role, notably in the southeast of Iraq, centered on Basra, where we're determined to play that role. But I think that the important thing now is to pursue those three tracks. And obviously, we prepare for all eventualities of an American administration that is elected. We want to work very closely with the next American administration. But I think it's also important to give the message that there are a whole range of European countries represented in Baghdad at a political level and determined to play their part in the next 5 years of Iraq, whatever the historic controversies over the last 5 years.
The Iraq war has become enormously unpopular in the UK. Why is Britain still there, and are you confident that the Labour Party will survive? I mean, it didn't look that way last night in the symbolic special election in northwest England.
Well, you're right that Iraq was a divisive issue in the UK. But I believe that it is possible, whatever the disagreements about the origins of the war and the decision to go to war, it is possible to get a united position in Britain about what happens now. And I think that there is agreement across the parties in Britain that we need to complete the job of training the Iraqi 14th Division of the Iraqi Army. That's a task that we're undertaking in the southeast of Iraq in Basra. The work that we've done has been shown its value over the last few weeks in Basra. We have to complete that task.
Sir, you have your own U.S. connections. Your wife is an American citizen. You studied at MIT. What's your own view of the United States and how it's changed since you were here as a graduate student in 1990?
That's an interesting and nice question. I think that America is the least cynical country in the world. I spent a year here in the late 1980s. I think that I've had a chance on this trip. I'm now in California with Dr. Rice. I've been in New York and Washington. And I think this is a country that renews itself. And it renews itself economically. No one can fail to say that after the meeting I've just had with venture capitalists here in Silicon Valley. So I think it's a country that's permanently renewing itself. And that is, I think, a motif or an ethic that the rest of the world could learn from.
David Miliband is the British Foreign Secretary. Thank you very much for your time indeed, sir.
Thank you very much. Nice to speak to you.